Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of opening up the Word, and we ask that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would reveal Jesus to us, and that you would so fill us with your Spirit that we'd become more like Jesus, and that it would happen on an individual level, but then it would flow out of us to impact our marriages and our families and our communities and the ministry relationships we have and the world, Lord. We want your kingdom to come, and we know it starts inside an individual as your Spirit takes up residence inside of us. But then we want your Spirit to flow. Now we ask, Lord Jesus Christ, that you superintend over this time together, that you silence the enemy and break off his attempts at distracting us, and that you, Lord Jesus, would draw us to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to speak with you today about having a family that is filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to start by looking at the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. And I want you to see a broad scope of what is going on here. Sometimes we go verse by verse and we get stuck looking at a tree when we miss what the forest looks like. So in a broad stroke here, I want to give you a couple preliminary verses and then dive into the things that he is saying, and then we'll apply that to our individual lives. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says this. Ephesians 5, 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. See, the book of Ephesians is a beautiful example of both and. Both and. The first half of the book is talking all about what God has done for us. Then the second half of the book is talking about, since that is true, how then should we respond? How then should we behave? How should we act? And both halves of the book are biblical, aren't they? Both halves of the book are necessary. And so it's interesting to me that you get out in the Christian circles and you run into people who only emphasize the part that God does. And that's all there is to think about. And then there's other churches out there that only talk about what we must do. But both groups are in error because they don't have the both and. They don't have both halves of the book of Ephesians and both halves of many other texts of Scripture. It's both and. It's God starting something, God initiating something, and then because of what God has done, we respond. And as we respond, God is able to use us to be kingdom builders and extending his kingdom through us. So after all these introductory, not just introductory, but foundational truths in the first half of the book about what God has done by choosing us and putting a Spirit in us, now he starts talking about how to live. And verse 5 sums it up so well. Be imitators of God. Chapter 5, verse 1. Be imitators of God. And he goes on to describe what that's like in numerous ways, but I want to jump ahead to verse 18. It says, in contrast to the negative things that are going on and then the thing that should be going on. Verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. He's talking about what's influencing us. A person that's drunk with wine is influenced by that, and the ability to monitor himself is removed, and some of the carnal things come floating out, the fleshly things. And so he's saying, don't be influenced with wine. Don't be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. What a contrast. Alcohol, inebriation versus the Spirit of God. God himself living in us, filling us, empowering us, influencing, controlling, guiding, directing us. This is a command from Scripture. Because the first half of the book is true, because God has saved us, because God has sealed us with his Holy Spirit, now we are to respond in faith, inviting and allowing the Spirit to fill us, to move amongst us, to move in us, to work through us. Notice four results that follow. After verse 18 says, be filled with the Spirit, verse 19 says, first of all, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When you are filled with the Spirit, you're going to talk to people differently. If a family invites the Spirit to fill them, if a father invites the Spirit to fill him, he's going to speak to his wife, he's going to speak to his children, he's going to address them with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The scriptures and the songs from the scriptures are going to flow through him. He's going to be a truth speaker in line with the truths of scripture, the truths of scripture flowing through him. When you're filled with the Spirit, God's Spirit flows through you, impacting how you address one another. So addressing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The second thing that flows immediately from being filled with the Spirit is you'll be singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. So not just addressing one another now, it's now it's talking about communicating with the Lord. When you're filled with the Spirit, your spirit is in sync with God. Your spirit is in harmony with God. Your spirit actually makes melody to the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. It's worship initiating, originating in heaven, flowing down into us, and then flowing back to heaven. It's the grand symphony of the universe where God speaks, God sings over us, God communicates to us, and it goes right down inside of the depths of our being, the Spirit that was birthed by God inside of us, filled with the Holy Spirit, and from that Spirit flows out melodies to the Lord. Some people might be thinking right now, that sounds weird. Singing to the Lord? Well, we do a version of that before I got up here. We sing songs in church, and that's an aspect of it. But what we're talking about is even bigger and deeper than that. It's when the inside of us is so filled with God, and His influence over us is so great, that the inside of us vibrates in sync with Him. The Spirit inside our spirit is causing the rhythms of our whole being to be in sync with Him. So that as we breathe, we're breathing out praises to God. As we talk, we're singing praises to the Lord. When we attempt to sing a song, we might know it's a praise to the Lord. But there's even the ability to sing in the Spirit where it's just God doing something deep inside of us. And whether it's in audible words or just an emotion, it's directed towards God. It's the Spirit causing melodies from the depths of our being to be directed to the Lord. The third thing is in the next verse, verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're overwhelmed with gratitude for what God has done. When the Spirit is at work inside of us, we see what God's doing in our lives. We see how blessed we are compared to others. We see what we've avoided compared to some of the others. We see even how when we're going through a hardship, there's blessing in the midst of the hardship. I was moved to tears just on the drive over here. I made a mistake of opening up my phone and seeing I had a new Facebook posting from a cousin who just this morning was told by the doctors, there's nothing more we can do. And so he was walking into his wife's room to communicate that news to her, and I haven't finished the text or the Facebook post. I didn't read the rest of it because I just couldn't. My eyes teared up, and I'm grieving for my cousin. And the truth is, I don't think I've ever met his wife. I don't know their faith journey at all. I'm thinking, I need to make contact. I hope there's an open door. Maybe there's a few more hours or maybe even hopefully days I could talk with her if she's still conscious, because they talked about one option is just to help her sleep until her body collapses soon. The Spirit wants to move inside of us so that we're addressing one another with spiritual words, move inside of us so that we're addressing God with the rhythms of heaven, and then move inside of us so that we're filled with gratitude and thanksgiving for everything, the good and the bad and the ugly. And then the fourth thing that's happening here, verse 21, is we're submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. be filled with the Spirit, and four things happen. You talk to each other differently. You talk to God in a supernatural way. You are filled with gratitude and thanksgiving for what God has done, and you're living in community in a whole different way, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. See, I believe that God made the family, and God intends for the family to be a place where He lives and He moves and He is glorified, so that family extends the kingdom, does the will of God on earth, brings God glory by how they interact amongst themselves and how they influence the people around them. Your family is to be a glory of God extender. Those four things are there, but notice how he immediately flows into specific situations. He flows from that into verse 22, where he addresses wives and how they should live with their husbands. A family filled with the Spirit has a wife filled with the Spirit, and that wife filled with the Spirit lives in relationship to her husband a certain way. There's that word there that some people get all upset about, the word submit. But remember, it just finished the previous verse where it said submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. What's being asked of the wife is not more than what's being asked of the husband. Everyone submits to each other. The wife submits to the husband as unto Christ. But then it goes to the husbands in verse 25. A family filled with the Spirit has a husband filled with the Spirit, and he gives himself up for his wife. The wife, she only has to submit. The husband, he has to die. Die to self. I was going to ask Jane why that was funny, but I'm afraid if I do, I might not finish my sermon. A husband gives himself up for his wife, lays down his life, serves her as Christ serves the church. To do this, to make her holy and without blemish. In other words, the husband, filled with the Spirit, has a sanctifying role in the life of his wife. There's a few younger husbands out there. Just a reminder, your goal is not to get your wife to meet your needs and to serve you. Your goal is to help your wife become like Jesus. Now, sometimes trials and persecutions help a person become like Jesus, and you might be involved in some of those, unfortunately. But that's not the goal. The goal is that you are blessing your wife so that she is becoming more and more the woman God intends for her to be, that she is sanctified, she reaches her full potential. So husbands serve and love their wives by giving their life for their wife. But it goes on, chapter 6, verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. A family filled with the Spirit has children who are influenced by the Spirit. And children are to obey their parents. Obey their parents. It actually says that there's a promise connected with that, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And then verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children in anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So we got wives, husbands, children, fathers. We could include that to be parents, fathers and mothers. And then it even goes further in verse 5. It says bondservants. Some translations use the word slaves, but in this culture, it was more of an indentured servant. Someone said, I'm gonna indenture myself to you for a certain number of years. I'm gonna serve you to pay off my debt or to earn some income that I might eventually then be free and be able to have my own place, my own business, whatever it might be. They are to serve their masters in a certain way. So what's going on here? God is saying he's rescued, he's saved, he's sanctified, he's put a Spirit in us as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Therefore, be filled daily with the Spirit so that it impacts all of your community, especially in the most intimate parts, your family. What I'd like to do now is share with you seven specific ways which this has worked out. Seven ways, and I encourage you to jot these down. Seven different ways with seven different verses attached to it. And the goal will be that as we think about these seven different ways, we'll invite the Holy Spirit to do this in each one of us. So seven different things that the Holy Spirit's doing in your family. Number one, the Holy Spirit will influence your mind and what you think. The Holy Spirit will influence your mind. Looking at Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on that, on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Holy Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. There's a huge contrast here. Without the Spirit, you're going to be thinking about the things of the flesh and the sinful nature. You're going to be thinking about how you get ahead, how you benefit, how your needs are met. That's what a non-saved, non-Spirit-filled person by default has to do, will do. But the ideal is that a person will be filled with the Spirit, and then their minds will be set on what the Spirit desires. So I encourage you to pray right now. Holy Spirit, influence what I think about. Influence my mind. Point number two. The Holy Spirit will influence your motivation or your will. The Holy Spirit will influence your motivation or your will. Philippians 2:13 reads, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." To will and to act. In other words, he gives you the want to and the ability to. It starts with the want to. Some of us don't want to do the will of God. That's because the flesh is calling the shots. We want to be surrendered to the Spirit of God, inviting the Spirit of God to control our will, control what we desire, so that we have the want to do his will, and then he gives us the ability to do his will. The want to and the ability to come from the Holy Spirit. Imagine a family filled with the Spirit so that each individual has the want to and the ability to do the very will of God. Point number three, the Holy Spirit will influence your habits. The Holy Spirit will influence your habits. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 read, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." What you do with your body, what you expose your body to, what you put in your body, all should be done with a recognition that the Holy Spirit lives in this body. Wherever I go, whatever I expose my body to, I'm exposing the Holy Spirit to. I want to honor God with my body. What it does, what it says, what it experiences, I want all of that to be done with a recognition that God dwells in me. Another way of looking at this is from Galatians 5:16, which reads, "Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." The truth is, we still all have a sinful nature. And we can allow it to control us and call the shots so that our urges and our wants and our base desires are what are at the top of our mind. I've seen interviews with guys. This guy was saying, When I'm hungry, I eat. When I'm thirsty, I drink. When I'm tired, I sleep. When I have sexual urges, I meet them, to paraphrase a little more politely. That's how he was controlled. He thought that was okay. His base desires were running his life. But Scripture says, be filled with the Spirit, and I'll live by the Spirit, so you do not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now let the Spirit influence your habits. Number four, the Holy Spirit will influence your attitude and the way you respond to each other. This is one of my favorite verses. Maybe it's one of your favorite verses. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It says these are the attributes that are produced in a person by the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, you've seen families that have these attributes demonstrated in them. And you've also seen families that have the opposite of these attributes demonstrated in them. What makes the difference? Why do some families seem to have a lack of peace? Why do some families seem to have a lack of self-control? Why do some families seem to have a lack of joy? What makes the difference? Could it be that the difference is determined by how much the Spirit is invited to rule in the lives of each of those family members? This says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In other words, if the Spirit is planted there, the crop that's going to grow are these attributes. If the Spirit is suppressed, squashed down, never watered, never fertilized, kept hidden, then those attributes are not going to be evident. If we want these attributes, we invite the Holy Spirit to influence our attitudes and the way we respond to each other. It's a promise. It's an invitation and a promise. It's God saying, do this, and this will result. And so we say, yes, God, I want that. I, by faith, grab a hold of it. Number five, the Holy Spirit will influence the way you talk with each other. The way you talk with each other. Now, I'm using a verse that's talking about a time of persecution. Jesus said in Matthew 10:20 about when you are persecuted, it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father will be speaking through you. In other words, he's saying that when you're brought before these persecutors, the Spirit will tell you what to say and help you say an appropriate response. Well, some of you feel like your family situations are times of persecution. So then it fits. When you're persecuted in your family, the Spirit can talk through you then. But it doesn't have to only be times of persecution. The promise is the same. The Spirit talks through the people he lives in. Think about that. Your physical mouth becoming the channel through which the Spirit of God speaks. I know we've talked in the past about the power of blessing. I encourage each father, especially each mother in addition, but each child too, to think about how they have a role to speak God's words into the other members of the family. So that your words lift up, elevate, give hope, renew strength, rather than squash down and discourage and cause hopelessness. The Spirit of God will influence the way you speak to one another. Number six, the Holy Spirit will give your family a spirit of generosity. You've seen children share toys, and you've seen children go and snatch away a toy that they want. A sibling has had the nerve to take hold of. There's a natural, sinful nature in each child. What makes it so that it's more evident or less evident is how much the Spirit is at work in that child. Think about the early church. When the Spirit descended upon the first church in the book of Acts chapter 2, what did the people do? Well, it says they met together. They prayed together. They listened to apostles' teachings together. But it also says they ate together in their homes and they shared their resources with one another so that no one was in need. In other words, there was supernatural generosity that broke out in the early church. God wants that same generosity to be evident in every house church, every family group, every husband, every wife, every child. Generosity is produced in a family through the power of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, number seven, the Holy Spirit will produce righteousness, peace, joy in your home. This is a verse you might want to jot down and carry with you. You might want to post it on the mirror of your bathroom. You might want to put it where you eat. It's Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but it is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, He rescues you from the domain of Satan and makes you a part of the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is all about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, or produced by the Holy Spirit. Your family should be full of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, I've gone over those quickly. Those who are watching on cable can slow down and go back and rewind. If some of you want a picture of these emailed to you, let me know. Because I believe that today is a day of new spirit empowerment in your life and in your family. I believe you're going to leave here and go out and be salt and light in the world, imitators of God in the world, by the power of the Spirit in you. I believe that your children and your grandchildren will be continuing that influence as the Holy Spirit is at work amongst you. It's amazing that God gives us a choice. God gives us a role. The first half of the book of Ephesians says what God has done. Now the second half is what we should do in response. What we should do is say, God, fill me with your Spirit. Work through me by your Spirit. Change me. Change my spouse. Change my children. Change my family. Let us shine for you. Do these transformations in our family. Let's pray. As we pray, would you in faith ask God to fill you, to rescue you if he's never rescued you, but then to change you to be like him by the power of his indwelling Spirit. The Spirit indwells every believer, but now the Spirit wants to have free reign in every aspect of your being, all your thoughts, all your words, all your priorities, all your values. The Holy Spirit wants to make you the you that God intended you to be. Invite him. Give him free reign in every aspect of your life. And then right now, invite the Holy Spirit to live through you, to make you like God in how you interact with your spouse, and how you interact with your children, how you interact with your parents. Ask God to so fill you with the Spirit that your family becomes like a micro church where God is elevated, God is worshipped, God is heard, God's word is spoken betweenst each other, and God's fruit is produced in an ever more abundant way. I bless you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to receive God himself, to receive and invite the Spirit, to receive the fruit of the Spirit. May love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control be yours in abundance. May the generosity of the Spirit overwhelm you so that it flows through you. May righteousness, peace, and joy fill your heart so that you are like God. Holy Spirit, come and do your work in each one of us. Holy Spirit, we invite you to do your transforming, sanctifying work. We thank you for these promises of Scripture, and now with the gift of faith you have given us, we grab a hold of these promises. And we say yes to these promises. We say, be true in my life to each and every one of these promises. We say yes to the filling and to the empowering of the Spirit in our lives for the glory of God. Amen.